pick on my skirts to be a little too sexy. Just like all my thoughts, they always get a bit naughty. When I'm out with my girls, I always play a bit bitchy. Can't change the way I am. Sexy, naughty, bitchy me.
You are listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by He'll Come Rain, He'll Come Shine, that sexy, naughty, bitchy David Lim, and me, Pete Waterman's next protege that's ready to resurrect Jive Records, Joel Babington. Hello, David. How are you doing?
I'm good, JB. I knew the sexy, naughty, bitchy thing was coming up. I could see it a mile away. You had me pegged. Oh, pardon the pun. How's it going?
I am fantastic, thank you, darling. It is all go, go, go as we build up into Q4. But that's what makes me cherish even us, makes me cherish even more us spending these couple of hours getting into pop together. How's everything your end?
Wonderful, wonderful. By the time this comes out, I think it's going to feel a lot more festive. But we're not quite ready for the jingle bells yet. So we want to do something different this episode, don't we?
Exactly. And even if this isn't festive, it's still a gift.
Every episode is a gift, guys. Don't you forget that. We don't know what we're going to call this as a blanket idea. But just so you know, the concept very loosely is we want to do something more bite-sized. Famous last words.
Yeah, 3 hours in.
3 hour record and me trying to get it down to an hour and 20 minutes. But the idea is we do something bite-sized where Joel and I will each pick an artist to introduce to you. And we're not doing the usual thing that we do at Right Back Catcher where it's a proper deep dive, B-sides, photo shoots, this and that.
What?
Origin story, tour, promo. This is just five song highlights by artists that, I don't know, Joel, would you say niche is the right word?
I would say this is our equivalent to the Lost Girl bands. I would say this is maybe like an introducing series. So if you know them, let's have fun. And if you don't know them, let's have some fun. Strap on in, you know, because if you're anything like us, you love finding new, old music. We're covering two different pop girly legends today. So I'll be bringing Ellie Campbell to the table today, the Huddersfield Princess of Pop.
Love.
And Davo, who are you bringing?
I am bringing Thai pop princess Tata Young to the table. So I'm really excited about this one. I'm excited to hear about Ellie as well, because this is an artist that has definitely been part of our origin stories even before we got this podcast together. Like, Ellie Campbell's music has been there bonding us in the flat those nights, queuing YouTube with the wine. So it just feels right that it's about time we did Ellie Campbell.
It's
right?
Absolutely about time. I mean, both these artists have been on the spreadsheet in one way or another for a long time, and we were never sure how to get to it. And never in our wildest dreams did we think of pairing them together. So if you are loving what we're doing, guys, please do leave us a lovely 5-star review. Hit that subscribe button. Follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms and tell a pop loving friend. But Davo, shall we kick off the episode?
Yes. Let's get into our girl, British pop star Ellie Campbell. Take it away, JB.
Ellie Campbell, Too Hot to Handle. Now, Davo, if in the 80s, Pete Waterman had a lot of success with billing Rick Astley, my man, as the singing T-boy, in the late 90s and early 2000s, I think he was trying to make magic strike twice again by billing Ellie Campbell as the singing cleaner. But
wow.
Davo, I want to say thank you to Wayback Machine for giving us the Jive.com Ellie Campbell bio. So instead of me trying to explain to you who Ellie Campbell is, I'm going to take you really in the time machine and I'm going to read you the official Jive bio.
I love this. It's like, check out the press release, bio linked.
Exactly. Get the dial-up sounds going. So, what has Yorkshire Lass Ellie been up to since she last took up residence in the UK charts at the end of 1999 with So Many Ways? I've been spending a lot of time in Asia and Australia, says the Popstrel. And I've had so much fun over there. I recently performed at Sydney's Mardi Gras Festival in front of 250,000 people, which was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. She's also found time to finish up her debut album, Ellie, which is due for UK release in May. It's a mixture of upbeat dance pop and a few slower songs you can get a bit of a smooch on, says Ellie. Jay from Five appears on a track, but apart from that, it's 100% Ellie. There's definitely more to Yorkshire than just the puddings. There's Ellie Campbell for a start. The 20-year-old singer is set to reinforce her status of one of the brightest new pop talents of the millennium. Ellie is sixth in a family of 10, positively sizzles with personality, and this, coupled with her extraordinary singing voice, makes her an exciting addition to Planet Pop. Now, Davo, this is where it gets interesting, and she was dubbed as the UK Britney, but I think we're a UK Kagiagi going on here. Ellie was nicknamed Shirley Temple as a child because she loved to perform, whether in front of a mirror or her entire family. She even had a suitcase which she would take to family parties to use as a stage. I'd jump on top and perform routines that I'd seen on Top of the Pops. In 1997, one of Ellie's sisters sent her picture to a national newspaper, which was planning a feature on 100 unknown beautiful women. After seeing the picture, the paper invited Ellie down to be part of the article. In the end, the piece got scrapped. This is all on the official website.
It's like, okay, cool story.
In the end, the piece got scrapped. But 6 months later, I got a call from the paper and they invited me down to be part of another photo spread. Oh. I was the only non-model and I had a brilliant time. While in London, one of the newspaper editors told Ellie that she should try professional modelling and gave her some telephone numbers to help her start off. I went to one of the agencies and they sent me on a casting immediately. The photographer was very nice, but he wanted me to do a glamour shoot. So I told him, I don't do that kind of job. He said to me, can you do anything else? And I told him I could sing. The photographer happened to have a friend, Ben Bates, who was looking for a girl singer and had auditioned 200 young women without success. He made the call and I sung down the phone to this guy. It was a Whitney Houston song called Run to You. Wow. He thought my voice was perfect. And next week he came up to Huddersfield to see me. Ellie hooked up with Ben, who knew instantly that Ellie had the potential to succeed. So he set to work spreading the word. Ben, armed with a demo tape, went to see pop legend Pete Waterman. Oh. When he heard my voice, he was intrigued and wanted to see me immediately. Waterman, whose credentials for finding pop stars is unrivaled in the UK, met up with her and Ellie signed to Jive Records that year. Ellie, who has had no formal singing or dance training, has had to learn the tricks of the trade on the job.
Wow.
Her debut single, Sweet Lies, enabled her to ease gently into her new role as pop diva, securing the foundations for a long-term career. Her second single, So Many Ways, was released in August 99 and debuted at 26. Since So Many Ways, Ellie has visited practically every country in Europe, performed in front of 65,000 people at Leeds Party in the Park, and sang alongside Gabrielle at a charity bash in Amsterdam. Not bad for a Yorkshire lass.
Not just about the puddings and Kimberly Walsh.
Not just about the puddings. That is all from the official Jive website. I mean, that's history right there, really. So not only was Ellie a singing cleaner at the time, Pete allegedly signed Ellie after only hearing 3 lines of her singing.
Oh, wow. I mean, if she's doing Run to You like she did for that guy on the phone, that's a hard song. If you can nail that in 3 lines, you got the job, honey.
You got the job, hon.
I absolutely love that. And also, like, I didn't realize that. Yeah, she really was hustling, wasn't she? Like, you know, it's a lot of just one door opens, you walk through, another door opens, and you kind of find your way there. There's no stage school, which I was really surprised about. I thought she had some formal vocal lessons. Like she's one of those people that had the training and background, but she really hustled, didn't she? She just had that in her.
Yes, and mentality. And Devo, she's one of 10 kids in her family, and her mum is one of 21 children.
Fucking hell.
Apparently all a very musical family. Huddersfield answers to the Von Trapps, you might say. So, Devo, now you've had your whirlwind tour stop of Ellie Campbell, Too Hot to Handle. Let's go with her debut single, Sweet Lies, released in March 1999, written by Mark Topham, Carl Twigg, who'd worked a lot with Steps, part of the Jive family and roster, and Lance Ellington, produced by Mark Topham, Carl Twigg and Pete Waterman. If anyone knows a bit more about Pete, if you've listened to or read Rick Astley's memoir, Pete gets the writing and producing credits here and there. He's not kind of in the room doing it, but
he's the one who curated the people in the room.
Yes, yes.
And maybe he's got an idea or two here or there, you know?
Yeah. You, singing cleaner. So, Devo, Sweet Lies is, you know, a bit of a different turn for Right Back At You, and especially for something for me to be bringing to the table, but it's a stunning, I won't say ballad, but it is a mid-tempo that's teetering towards the ballad side of things. But it is just this absolutely gorgeous song. But where I think it really comes alive is that when you pair it with the music video.
I was very surprised by the music video because the kind of memory that I have of Ellie Campbell and you and I watching her videos on YouTube, this one didn't really stand out to me. So when I was like trying to get my mind set here for this recording, I watched it and I was like, it's mature.
It's a different look than what we'll see later on. It's sophisticated glamour puss, but still a hun at a nightclub. So it's, we got big curly hair, which we won't see from our Ellie again. This big, lovely blonde curly hair. Sort of lots of pinky purple in the colour palette, Ellie in a pinky purple dress, and then it is set in a nightclub that seems very clearly a set. I mean, do correct me if I'm wrong out there, but it looks like something you'd see in a TV show in the 90s.
And the actors are there, it's giving a little bit of drama, a little bit of narrative going on in the background, but in the centre of it all is Ellie. She's singing her song, looking gorgeous, soundtracking the moment.
Ellie's kind of like singing the story of the other people's lives at the nightclub.
Yeah. It's a very 90s kind of video.
Yeah. It's very 90s for 1999.
Also vocally, I think she's giving a little bit of Leanne Rimes. I can hear it in the tone. Yeah.
What the girls around just pre-Britney did. It's that, you know, Leanne Rimes, Jennifer Page, That sort of stuff between Mariah and Britney, it was kind of this, a stand and a sing and a slink. Because as well, if you look at like the B-side to 5678, and I think if Steps hadn't become what they'd become, there were kind of flourishes of this in there if you look at the early workings. So it's just interesting that this is within Pete, Mark, Carl, Jive's wheelhouse. The B-side on this track was The Things You Do, which does feature Jay from Five, which is worth having a shout out. That is where he gives her the name Ellie Campbell, Too Hot to Handle.
I did not know that that was where it was from. I thought you came up with that.
No, I'm not having a lawsuit from Jay from Five. Now I know that you've been watching me because I've been watching you closely. Never sleep because that's when you start to creep. Got my head going crazy with you running through my mind. I'll let you come inside, tell me what I'm going to find. Would you hit me with those freaky, freaky things you want to do to me? Tell me what's it going to be?
That's pretty cool, though. Was he actually credited on it, like as featuring, or
Yeah, she was going around saying sort of like, yeah, I'd met Jay from Five and said, maybe I'll see you on Top of the Pops. And then we ended up working together.
That's a good story. Good story indeed. And, you know, Pete Waterman knows a good story. So he probably made that happen, made sure that was the B-side just so she can have a talking point about it. Mm. Clever.
So, Devo, this peaked at number 42 here in the UK, but very interestingly, number 10 on the UK independent singles charts.
Not everybody has that.
Not everybody has that. So let's get things a little bit more interesting. August, summer 1999, Ellie Campbell with So Many Ways. All right, pop real well and truly has entered the chart. And of all the songs we're talking about today, this is the one that's grown on me the most. So this one is written and produced by Pete Waterman and Dan Frampton. I wouldn't call it UK Britney, where she was signed to Jive and a UK blonde soloist. She was getting compared as the British Britney a lot, but I would consider it maybe more of a solo steps or a solo S Club kind of more sounding song.
In comparison to the previous single, oh my God, it's almost like a different artist. Now she's leaning into the smash hits, Top of the Pops, teen pop, boom. And I just love it. It's a beautiful, summery teen pop number. The bikini top, the jeans, you know, dancing in a field of poppies.
It's Northern Girl on her holly bobs, or maybe she's a lounge singer out there. I want to say it's Italy, but I don't know for sure, actually. I think it's Spain. The cowboy hat is there. It's a must. I think it doesn't make enough of these other lovely locations we have in the video. We spend so much in this field with sort of like a red truck, dancers. The field is what's giving very One for Sorrow. But then there are these other locations, which are so lovely, but it takes so long to get there and could have just done with a smidge more narrative. But we're building up with Ellie Campbell.
Yeah, and now we have choreography. She's going for it.
Which is, it's a prelude to Day and Night. It's Day and Night in a One for Sorrow world.
It is.
With the arm movements.
And I think maybe the next video, the choreo really steps up for her. But, you know, she's a pop star in training. She's learning on the job. And already we're seeing the growth and the changes between single one and single two.
Now, Devo, I've really struggled in the UK to find any promo. This is the only bit of promo I've managed to find on YouTube. Thank you, whoever uploaded it. I really went on SMTV to promote this. I didn't see a performance, but she was there in the sort of bra, hat, outfit, ready to promote.
I mean, listen, guys, you know, we're doing our best in 2024 to dig up as much as we can. You know, truly thank you to the fans that are uploading. So if you're one of those people that, like, keeps archives of everything, you know, taped every episode of every music show or whatever, if you've got a bit of spare time this holidays over Christmas, you're back home, digitize it, upload it on YouTube.
Check if you've got Ellie Campbell written on any of your VHS sleeves.
Yeah, that's a priority for the JB. Get those uploaded first.
Absolutely. But Devo, this peaked at 26 here in the UK, Ellie's highest charting single to date.
Oh.
Number 8 on the UK independent singles charts and 86 in the Netherlands. Now let's move on to a album track from Ellie Campbell, Too Hot to Handle. The debut album, Ellie, which has in the last year or so finally reached streaming. Thank you to Rob at Pop Music Activism. The track I want to shout out on the album is Say What You Mean. If she's being dubbed the UK's Britney, this is the one that is the most Max Martin American sounding. This is the most sort of like fun dance pop in that way on the album. It's getting the shoulders going and it's having a good time.
One day I was your girlfriend, next day you didn't know me. How could you ever pretend you don't feel a thing? Monday you're holding my hand when
hearing this album for the first time, I was really, really impressed. So much so to the point where, you know, sometimes when you listen to something and you're like, wow, like they could have picked some of these songs as singles and then maybe history would be a little bit different today. You know what I mean? But shoulda, woulda, coulda, we don't have we don't have a crystal ball. We never know, right? It's hindsight, but also what a gift to be able to discover this now. I can't believe this album came in 2001, like 2 years after her debut single.
I think it was 2000. I think
it was 2000. Was
there's
it?
Yeah. There's misinformation online. I think it was 2000.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. You know, they're getting into, and this does sound like an album that's on the cusp of, yeah, the millennium.
The album as a whole is stepping into Steps, S Club, Billy, Bewitched, that kind of territory.
I would say, and even Atomic Kitten and Precious.
Tommy Kits, Precious, 100%. And then like flourishes of like, but like tiny flourishes of like, Oops, I Did It Again and Max Martin. But loads and loads of fun. The Ellie Campbell album is definitely worth a spin on Spotify. So give it a listen. Thank you again, Rob, for all that you are doing. Now, Davo, I want to talk about my favourite song Ellie Campbell is giving us today. I think when we were having our YouTube wine nights, this is the one where we were like, oh my God, what is this? And who is this girl?
Yes, yes.
This is the song that if you're like, okay, we can see the UK Britney comparisons. This is Don't Want You Back. Again, Pete Waterman, Mark Toppin, Carl Twigg giving you a very post Baby One More Time, Oops, I Did It Again world era track for the British market.
The chorus is so instant. It's so punchy, isn't it? Bye, bye, baby, I don't want you back. And the choreo, oh, she was eating it up.
It's literally like Hun anthem. Like, we say that sort of thing a lot, but this one is Hun anthem. Sorry is the hardest word and flowers don't say much. Poetry.
Love it. And you know me, I love a bit of pop R&B. Like, this is a bit of me, you know. Now we're getting a little bit of attitude, a bit of sass.
This is the arrival of Ellie Campbell, and this is all we want. It's Ellie and her girlfriends sort of showing up with a cheating boyfriend saying, like, I don't want you back, darling. The hair that is like, you know, in the time when the girls would have like the spiky clip in.
Oh, yes, yes.
At the back.
Mandy Moore, Candy.
Mandy Moore, with fabulous hoop earrings, heels, trousers, top.
During this time, we always have those lavish music videos shot in an LA mansion, you know.
Yeah.
Everything's happening inside. It's her and her girlies and then, you know, pushing the guy in the pool.
So this was the debut single for Ellie in Australia.
Oh,
David.
Okay, perfect. Yes, we're ready.
Right choice. Right, absolutely correct. Right choice. And it's Australia that I've managed to find the most kind of promo from. So thank you to our archivists in Australia. The B-sides to this were a Danger Mouse remix, a WIP remix, and on the Aussie single, you had a message from Ellie that was 17 seconds long. I can't find that online. So if anyone's got that, please
I wonder
do
if it's
send
personalized.
It to us.
G'day, Australia. How's it going? Is your girl Ellie?
Banger. Love that it got a nice push in Australia.
I wish I was more conscious of this at the time. Because what? If this was 2000, 2001, I would have been. But I think I was still
acclimatizing, darling.
Yeah, but also just trying to absorb what was happening in Australia, like get to know the Australian artists. So maybe Ellie was like in one issue of Smash Hits and I missed it. Or she was doing video hits for a week and I missed it. So it's so easy when you're not in the market all the time for things like this to pass you by. So I wish I'd caught this at the time because I would have absolutely fucking loved it.
Shame 13-year-old you wasn't at Mardi Gras. so many ways.
Didn't even know what a Mardi Gras was. In a few
with
years,
cowboy
though,
hat on.
In a few years, though, try to hold me back.
Absolutely. Now, look, we need Ellie back at Mardi Gras and back at Mighty Hoopla. Absolutely. So Don't Want You Back peaked at number 50 here in the UK, but number 2 on the UK independent singles chart, which is absolutely fantastic. And then number 44 in Australia. So I'm not going to say what were you thinking, Davo, because I think where we're at, that's very, very impressive. Now, last but not least of our girl, Ellie Campbell. Say it again, say it again. It's You're No Good. Now, this
not
was
precious.
The... No, this was You're No Good. And it was the, unfortunately, cancelled single off the album. But we got a glorious music video nonetheless. So it's a cover of Dede Warwick's You're No Good, due to be the 4th single in the UK. But after the, shall we say, you know, not high performance of the album, plans were shelved. And apparently it did get a release in the US, but failed to chart there.
How come that got a US release when her previous stuff wasn't released in the US?
Because they had a red truck and they were ready to use it.
They were shipping all the CDs on that truck.
Yeah. Too late. It's out there. This was directed by legend Phil Griffin. And we have got budget here. We've got red leather trousers, heels, a big red truck driving us around with the original pop-up stage right there.
I haven't seen anyone else do this concept of singing and dancing on a truck. At least in a pop music video anyway. I could be wrong, guys. Let us know in the comments and in on our socials if there are any fabulous Y2K music videos where people are performing on a moving truck. This era of Ellie, let's just say, we are getting slightly towards a more FHM shoot.
It looks like, and as amazing as the video is, and the shot is gorgeous, it's very like a static one shot. And it feels like she was placed there and it was like, don't move, but sing, and we're going to have the wind machine. And I do kind of wish that one position was like toned down a little bit, not in a prudish way, but I just don't think it represents Ellie and the artist that she was at this time. Production wise and everything, it was like everything was stepping stones. And it's a shame that it took to the 4th and final and ultimately cancelled single to give the best music video.
But I mean, to be honest, all her videos, she has served, you know, there were great locations. Oh, yeah.
That's not a question. Yeah. Ellie Campbell serves. There is no question about it.
But do you think around this time was when there were talks of interest from Zomba USA, Jive Zomba USA,
yeah,
which is
maybe
why this is happening. The red truck was driven out there with the CDs.
Yeah, absolutely. Ellie takes on America.
Yeah, a Disney
because
Channel
because you could
moment.
Have done, you could have done like a driving round America, and then that vehicle could be out the front of every state,
yes,
every arena
from Huddersfield to Houston. And then, oh my God, every interview on TRL, guys, I brought you all something from back home. Y'all fancy a bit of Yorkshire pudding? I'm not getting the accent right. I'm so sorry. And she could be the one that introduces Yorkshire puddings to America.
Oh, my God.
Imagine a surprising Carson Daly on TRL with like a tray of Yorkshires. You're right, guys.
So Carson Daly, right? I've been touring around America and I've absolutely found it brilliant, but I haven't had one good Sunday roast the whole time. So I've flown my mum out. And we're 9 siblings, and we're making a Sunday roast for you and everyone here at TRL.
Woo!
Gravy dripping all the sides.
I would love that as a takeover from our Ellie. Wow, imagine that promo.
Do you have Yorkshire pudding in Australia?
No, she could have done that on Video Hits as well. Mardi Gras at the after party.
Now, listen to all you little gay boys out there. There's Yorkshire puddings on the way out to help you with your hangover. And if the barcode on the back is a coupon for my single.
Marketing genius. Honestly, like, just really connecting with your roots in that way. That would have been such a fun campaign for Ellie.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Look, they had the budget there with the truck, so you make it work.
Yeah, I mean, maybe all the budget went to the trucks. There wasn't enough to fly Mom out to make all the Yorkshires.
No, absolutely. I mean, where is that truck now? But Davo, that's brought us to the end of our journey with Ellie. She seems very off the grid now. There are rumours online, you know, diving into this, like apparently she auditioned for an early season of The X Factor, but like a lot of this information, it's very TBC, a lot of caution needed. No verification. But I've loved this journey. I am a big Ellie Campbell fan. I've loved we've had a chance to dive into it. I've loved this snapshot of pop. And if she ever wants to give a sing song, Ellie, we're here, ready and waiting.
And Ellie, if you want to tell your story, we are available.
We'd love to have you on. We would love to chat to you about this incredible time in pop and your experience.
Well done, JB. Thank you for bringing to us Ms. Ellie Campbell, Too Hot to Handle. That's going to be stuck in my head now.
You know what? Jay never returned to Five. Maybe I could replace Jay.
You are JB. Imagine my dear Jay. She brings you out instead of Jay.
You know, there's Jay, like J-A, and then there's J-B.
The B side.
So can you please tell me who is Tata Young?
Jolie B, are you ready? Because I'm about to take you right now from Huddersfield to Bangkok.
I've been ready and waiting since we've known each other.
Before Lisa from Blackpink, there was a Thai pop princess in the mid-90s to 2000s called Tata Young, hailed as Asia's pop princess or described as Britney Spears of Asia. Tata became one of the very few Thai pop stars to gain success outside of their country.
Wow.
A huge source of fascination for me really intensified once I learned about how many of her songs were actually covers of our Western pop girlies. You know, these are like songs that we know from album tracks here and there, and you're going to get that for the rest of this episode when I get into it.
She's kind of like the real life version of JB1 and DL1.
She really is the intersection of both of our imaginary pop solo careers. Yeah.
Like, she takes the best and puts it on.
Exactly. We all three of us would have the same A&R, for sure. Now, Tata has released 9 albums between 1995 to 2009. They were all number one albums in Thailand. She's also had success in China, Japan, India, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Malaysia, Singapore, and thinking about it, like, you know, even finding success in Japan and China and India, those are huge markets.
Yeah. And so different culturally of like what the, you know,
it's language, the it's sound. Culture.
Yeah. The sound from those is so different.
Yeah. So for her as a Thai pop star and probably the first Thai pop star to do that, it's absolutely incredible. So let's give you a little bit of a background on who Tata Young is. Born Amita Marie Young, Tata's father is from Ohio and her mother is Thai. Just like Britney, she was a child star. She could really do it all. She'd sing, dance, act, model. After winning first place in a national singing contest at just age 11, her career kick-started with a bang. She signed a record deal with GMM Grammy, which is the largest media conglomerate company in Thailand. Now, Joel, GMM Grammy owns a record label, their own TV and radio networks. The publishing arm also produces the Thai version of Attitude magazine and Maxim. They have a TV and film production arm as well.
Wow.
So it's a really great company to get in with to start your career, let's just say.
Are they still going?
Joel's like, I am available. Who do I send my demos to? Just here dropping off my CD.
I've been described as the English Tata Young.
Now, Tata's first album, Amita Tata Young, was released in 1995. It was a teen pop style album sung in Thai. The album sold over 1 million copies within 5 months.
Wow.
Within 2 years, Tata was named by Elle magazine as one of Thailand's 10 most influential people. By the following year, 1998, she had already crossed into the film world and she won Best Actress in Thailand's National Film Awards.
Wow.
When she was 21, she signed with Sony BMG / Sony Thailand. And this is where things really start to ramp up for her.
Mm.
She released her debut English album, I Believe, in 2004. And it is here that I'm going to start with our highlights.
Oh, We Believe.
Yeah. I see the vision. We see the vision and we believe. So, JB, let's get into the first Tata Young track, Sexy, Naughty, Bitchy, released in the year 2004.
David and Lim, this is possibly the best song you've ever introduced me to. Absolute banger. When the key change kicks in, oh my God, yes.
This is such a bit of us, isn't it? Classic kind of bratty Y2K teen pop.
17 to 19 year old me would be strutting around and this would be like my inner monologue.
I can definitely see the JB doing a dance routine to this.
Yeah, 100%.
This is, yeah, really so much fun. Obviously, the title is a bit risque. In Malaysia, it was retitled to Sexy, Naughty, Cheeky.
Cheeky, cheeky.
The reason why this song is so good is because it's co-written by acclaimed pop hit maker Savan Kotecha, who has worked with Ariana Grande, Danny Minogue, Jerry Halliwell, and a bunch of Swedish pop songwriters.
Wow. I wonder if a version of this ever made it to, like, Jerry, because we will see that it sort of did the rounds. Like, this would be so good on the Passion album.
If Jerry had done this, it would have just been, like,
I mean, campus tits, and it already is.
It's campus tits, and it already... It would just take it to a whole other level.
Sexy, sexy, sexy. Jerry, Jerry, Jerry.
Naughty, naughty, naughty.
Me. Boom, boom, boom. Now, Davo, this is like definition of an earworm. So much so that I've been really like singing it and humming it to myself all the time at the moment. And I've been sat at my desk, literally, me like, well, when I was 17, this would have been my anthem. 33, I've literally been sitting at my desk the past few weeks going, da, 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 da. Da, da. And then my friend Zuzi started humming it. And I was like, sorry, what? Now, Zuzi's just lovely. So I was like, are you just like being polite and copying what I'm doing? Or do you know that song? And she was like, no, I know that song. Now, she's from Czech Republic. So I was like, Ooh. Okay. I like instantly put on the song. I was like, is this what you are humming along to? Because, you know, there's so many songs out there. And she was like, yeah. And she's a few years younger than me. So I was like, I need every single detail you can give me. And she's like, okay, well, you've suddenly just like pulled a memory out of nowhere. Like, there's not much more I can tell you.
And we have to be on the Zoom call in 2 minutes. Yes.
Yeah.
We're at work.
Everyone, stop what you're doing. So I was just like, you know, I couldn't believe it that
what a coincidence.
Someone from not from this market and not from the markets that we're talking about today. Right. So I was like, okay, can you message your cousins?
So oh, she said, now a real research expedition.
She said, okay, I heard back from my cousin. She was like, oh my God, I wouldn't be able to tell you the name as it's been so long, but can confirm it is this song and that she recognized it. So she's like, it definitely made it to the Czech girlies. She said, though, she can't confirm 100% if it was the English or German version.
Oh, a German version.
it was this song, and they both, she said, we both recognised the melody straight away. So what I can confirm is that this was a Czech school disco hit.
Number one on a Czech school disco hit, bubbling under charts. Get it, Tata Young.
And I just was love, like, this song, whoever, like, hopefully it's our Tata, but this song, just reaching there, I absolutely love.
It's absolutely incredible. I mean, speaking of charts and global recognition and things of that nature, Tata's version broke the top 10 on the Oricon charts in Japan and was one of the most successful Asian singles of that year. Sexy Naughty Bitchy also dominated the airwaves and charts throughout Southeast Asia, South Asia, including Thailand, Indonesia, India. So this was like her breakthrough moment. Quite a few years into her career already, but she's ready for the international stage.
And you said the debut album was 95. So a 9-year successful career, most people would dream of in pop. So they're 9 years in to be reaching new highs.
And breaking new markets. How incredible is that? Really exciting for Miss Tata here. Now, the music video, I know what you think when you hear the song, and we all have our own versions of this video in our heads starring ourselves, but it's not what you think it is in the video. It's quite restrained, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's well fitting though. And it's, there are like some of the water shots and all of that.
Yeah, but it's not overly over the top.
It's not FHM, it's like,
it's still glamorous and gorgeous.
It's glamour, it's high end.
Compared to what kind of video we would be doing for this, it's nothing of this level of classy restraint.
And there was two music videos for this. The second was, there was a second video for the Japanese market.
Someone's done the research for me. What am I talking about? Which video was that?
This is the one that features the lava lamps and she is like in a club setting. So she's like in a cloakroom that's empty and she's making it work around all the hangers, like very like Danny Minogue, Neon Knight sort of vibe.
Oh, okay. Love.
It's just like locations in a club. You know, like how if we're ever doing
A video at Two Brewers,
you're like, oh, we'll go in that corner and do that. We'll make that work. It's like just, it's a cohesive location, but it's shots.
Yes. Like,
That'll do. That's great. And all I will say, David, is if I won the lottery, I wouldn't tell you, but the sign would be that I'm living in a replica of this club from this music video.
I thought you would say you would release your own version and that's the video shot at the Brewers.
While I'm in my new house, I'll do a version of it as well. Shot for shot remake of the Japanese version.
There's a very prominent cover of this by Lena Alexandra. I think she's a Norwegian pop singer. And the version I sent you on WhatsApp, I just sent it to you. I did not say anything, right? I just kind of, oh, this is the bloke from Alcazar. Magnus Carlsen's live performance of Sexy Naughty Bitchy.
You said, he's from Alcazar. And I replied, I don't know what you're talking about. This is from the JB live tour.
I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to offend you, but it really, this performance is really giving young JB with the swishy blonde hair, the black tank top.
When I'm like 17 to 19, this would be my anthem. That's the visual right there.
That is it. We have it done by Magnus from Alcazar.
Thank you.
Sexy, sexy, sexy. Caxy, caxy, caxy. Bitchy, 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 man.
Oh, absolutely love that this is a moment for us both, JB. Shall I move on to the second highlight?
Please.
Are you ready for a bit of Cinderella? Now, this one is also from the 2004 album, I Believe. Disney Channel girlies, I feel like you would know this one via the Cheetah Girls. The first time we talked about this, did I play it to you after we were talking about the Cheetah Girls? It was something like that, right? Because
you gave me a 1-2 punch of telling me about Tata, showing me this and the next song we're going to talk about. And I was like, whiplash, whoa, what is going on?
Who is this girly?
I was a little bit more primed for a global cover of it because Cinderella had done the rounds, originally by girl group i5, then covered by Play, then covered and most famously released by the Cheetah Girls. So I was like, okay, this is a song that's been in the market, you know?
Yeah. And then the following year, it was Tata releasing her version in Asia. So, but I love this time in music where we can have these different territory covers. Play in Sweden, Cheetah Girls US Global, Tata in Asia. Everyone can have their version of this song and make it work and win. A good song's a good song, right?
Everything changed after High School Musical in 2006. So we're a few years away from that. But I wish I would have loved it to have been of on the High School Musical soundtracks. And I feel like some Disney Channel soundtracks following that is they would do a global cover for different markets at the end of the soundtrack. So like it would have just been so fab if like for some of the Asian markets, like the last track would have been like Tata Young, Cinderella, like an official part of the whole campaign.
Yeah, that would have been a lovely way to bring it in. But also, you know, having this as just presented as a Tata single for that market, absolutely incredible. This song is co-written by American pop songwriter Lindy Robbins, who has written Skyscraper for Demi Lovato, a lot of Selena Gomez songs, Slow Down, A Year Without Rain.
My favorite.
This music video, I mean, they're really being a little bit literal here. You know, it's a very simple concept, very minimalist set and shoot. But we do have Tata being sort of like a sexy pop princess in bed. You know, the gorgeous white sheets, the billowing hair, wind machine.
Oh, she makes it work. If I look like that, I'd say, yeah, we one shot and we're done. Cause
yeah,
look at
I'm doing my whole video in bed, honey. Like, this is where I am.
I've slain my own dragons. I'm staying in bed. I thought this music video was gorgeous. And I loved the kind of literal Cinderella concept.
One glass slipper prop. One pumpkin coach toy. Just to let you know, this is Cinderella.
This version let the song live and breathe its own moment as a really good song and not a Disney Channel song. And don't get me wrong, but i5, Play, Cheetah Girls, they're all very young. And I'm not saying Tata Young wasn't titularly young and like going to a younger market, but it was also like a teeny bit more mature. Like this is Cinderella as if it was like track 9 on Britney's In The Zone.
Yeah, I think presented by Tata Young, this Cinderella is more an anthem for young women. Now, this album, I believe, was a hit throughout Asia, selling more than 1 million copies and certifying gold in India alone. So well done, Miss Tata. Guys, go check out the I Believe album. I think you're going to really enjoy a lot of the selections in there. You know, that's like a song written by Jamelia. That's an album track.
Brilliant. Had Jamelia released a version of it?
No, never.
Brilliant.
So I love that the A&R was really going through the pool of songs and just picking stuff out. And then you're looking at the credits on Wikipedia, it's like, huh. Next album, we see an album track by Samantha Jade, an album track co-written by Natasha Bedingfield. And later in her career, a song co-written by Leona Lewis. These were never released by these artists. But Tata was like, yep, I'll take it.
Tata, where's your JB and DL co-write?
Yeah, we're still waiting. Our songs are in the pool. The pool of demos.
Before we go further, Devo, so what was your, how did you come across Tata?
Oh, we will get into that. That is later. I was not aware of Tata Young when I was living in Malaysia. So
pretend very, I said nothing.
No, it's a good question to bring up at this point. But yeah, I was a young gay man by the time I discovered her. Rede.
Brilliant. Well, shall we get into the next track, which I feel like by this artist or another artist should have become an anthem during lockdown.
It should have. Someone should have done a lockdown version of it. We are talking about Zoom, the 2006 track by Tata from her album Temperature Rising. Zoom in, get to know me. Don't know me. Now, guys, some of you might know this track as the Ashley Tisdale album track. Her version came out the following year in 2007, titled Don't Touch, in brackets, The Zoom Song.
Now, this is what had me shook when you introduced me to Tata. Like, Cinderella, I was like, okay. And then the next one, like, shell-shocked.
Yeah. I know the Ashley Tisdale version first. So when I discovered that Tata had done a version, and the arrangement is different. You know, there's more rhythmic vibes with Tata's one. There's more Middle Eastern kind of flavors in there. The lyrics have been altered to be slightly tamer for Ashley Tisdale's version, but the sentiment is there.
So, Davo, this song is an absolute banger. And what I love is that it deserves to be, like, a priority single. Not only was there a music video for this, okay, she also did a Simlish version of this song.
This is absolutely incredible. This is a gorgeous music video.
It's giving Delta Goodrum playing J-Lo in a biopic.
I get the J-Lo reference because she's filming, right? Or she's being watched. It's giving If You Had My Love. We all love a bit of, you know, digital camera vibes in this time. They had to do it. But also, like, you know, you get Tata on the red couch in a red dress, looking sexy, throwing her head back. There's a lot of Nadine Coyle style whipping off the hair back and forth. Now, I've picked a lot of quite sassy, quite sexy Tata Young songs. So I thought I would show something a little bit softer, a little bit more on the disco pop side, which I also love. Next up, let's talk about Come Rain, Come Shine from Temperature Rising once again. Absolutely gorgeous vocals from our Tata. This song samples Paul McCartney and Wings' song, Silly Love Songs.
I know, I was shook when I saw Paul McCartney on the songwriting
credits. I was like, can you imagine an album with co-writing credits from Natasha Bedingfield, Samantha Jade, and Sir Paul McCartney?
Yeah, I was like, did he write this for Tata? Tata, I loved Sexy Naughty Bitchy Me. I wish me and the lads had written that one.
Now, this music video is a really fun one. It shows the kind of more effervescent, girlier side of Tata Young. It's her with her gaze, jumping around, having a dance. Lots of hot pink, yellow, bright colours in this video.
It's so 2000s, but that, like, 80s neon flourish of 2000s.
Oh, we loved it in the 2000s, didn't we? The neons. And
believe it or not, listeners, I don't often feel nostalgic for the 2000s in a way where I want to go back, other than music. Like, the music is the only thing where I'm like, get me in that time machine and I'll be there. Watching this music video, I was like, oh, take me back.
I want to be in, like, that Tata video.
I want to be there. I want my swishy blonde hair. I want my bright neons. Like, I just want to be, like, having a good time.
This is it. You could have been a dancer in Tata's video.
They would, like, we're going to cut you because you're just, like, giving too much.
Yeah, you're outshining her. You're standing in front of her. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Didn't see you there, love. You're right.
Paul wanted me, like, here in the middle.
Representing for the UK. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now, JB, this Temperature Rising album, there's also a cover of I Must Not Chase the Boys.
Oh, brilliant.
By Play. I love the Play version. That's definitely the definitive version for me. But I love that I also have a Tata Young version.
Yes. I just want to say Come Rain, Come Shine was used for promos on the Starworld station at the time. And it really does have that sort of, like, summer TV ad feel to it, doesn't it?
Yes, because it's got that kind of... It's a great hooky chorus.
Yeah. Like, coming up, we've got Everybody Loves Raymond, American Idol, yeah.
Come rain and shine. Da, 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 da.
Football on at 6:30.
The National Lottery, hosted by Joel Babington. Da, 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 da.
Top of the Pops. Anyway, let's go to our last song, and what a way to end this special on, Davo.
I'm so excited about this one, guys. You are going to gag because we have Mission Is You, taken from Tata Young's 2009 album Ready for Love.
Only one condition.
Now, Joel, this album era was my introduction to Tata.
Right. Tell me how. Please break it down.
I'm trying to remember, right? But I think actually I started seeing her name circulating on pop blogs. And looking back at, for research for this, this was the first time she got a push in Australian and European markets. So that makes sense that she was being serviced and therefore it was being written about online. And it's 2009. I am very online at this point. I think I'm definitely on Joy 94.9. We playlisted Mission Is You. We playlisted another song called Shine Like a Superstar and Ready for Love, the lead single. You know, it is actually quite a big comeback album for Tata because she wasn't active in music for quite a few years. So this was billed as like the big comeback. It's an English album. It's her third English album, and it's also her last album to date.
Mm.
But what a project this was. I read that it was mostly led by Sony Music Europe, which is interesting because she's always been Sony Music Thailand. She's always been like big in Asian markets. But apparently this album was recorded in Berlin. And Joel, you look at the writers that they had on board for this. We got Billy Steinberg, who's worked with the Veronicas.
Wow.
Stuart Crichton, who did Sugar Babes Round Round. Leona Lewis has a co-write. Mark Taylor, who has worked with Cher and Kylie. Alex James and Busby, who did Alexandra Burke's Bad Boys.
Wow.
And this album really has flavors of all kinds of pop R&B moments that were happening. The lead single, Ready for Love, was like kind of sassy R&B. It's a bit Jennifer Hudson meets Pixie Lott.
Brilliant.
You know, it's got the big horns. And then you got this single, Mission Is You. And we're now like Lady Gaga style electropop.
And like this song is like Tata's like commander moment.
It is so commander. It's hand on hips. You're strutting to the beat. I can hear this at the Brewers.
Yeah, 100%. This is the kind of comeback song I want Martine McCutcheon to have. The music video for this, I wasn't sure if I was watching a fan-made video. That's the only downfall to this.
I'm also confused because I've only ever seen what they call the official music video was her performing in front of a plane. And it's clearly like a brand endorsement corporate gig. Because it's all branded, the plane. But, you know, she's glammed. She's got her dancers. Get the camera out. Film it. Why not?
Now, Davo, I saw that this was performed in Australia.
Oh, yes. So during this time, I believe, was her first time ever performing in Australia. What a promo trip. I think she performed in Perth.
Yeah, One Movement Festival, Perth.
I remember the excitement of it as well, because I followed her on Twitter at this time and I could see all the kind of tweets and she was just excited to be getting out there, interacting with fans. It's a new way of connecting, finding new audiences. And she was really leaning into it.
Now, Davo, what I found really interesting, looking up this song, Denise Pearson.
Sorry, formerly I thought you were going to say Denise Van Elton covered it.
My mission is you. Denise Pearson, formerly of Five Star, did record the demo of it.
A legend.
Now, I don't know if she had it marked first or if she recorded the demo for Tata to lay it down. But YouTube, there's a Denise version out there.
Oh, well done, JB. Good find.
So, Devo, what did you think then? If this album was actually your introduction to Tata, what did you think when you went and dived more into her and you were like, oh, she's done Cinderella and she's done Zoom and I Must Not Chase the Boys and all of that?
I think all that didn't come all at once for me. Bits I think a lot of it, yeah, a lot of it kind of came as well once I had Spotify.
Mm.
And we could actually, the whole catalogue was on there and I could go back. And that was where I really sort of discovered a lot of this.
I mean, you're still finding out. I texted you the other day that Everybody Doesn't is an Amanda cover.
Oh my God, amazing. There's so much. That's the thing, guys. This episode is really meant to be like just a taster palette. We're not like super researched up for everything because we want you guys to go out and go find it.
Wow, Devo, what a journey. What a global journey for our girlies.
Beautiful global journey. So look, as I said, sadly, that album, Ready for Love, is Tata's last album to date. But it seems like, I looked on Instagram, it seems like she's back performing again recently.
Oh yeah, she's having a good go.
She's having a good time.
She's doing it.
She's taken a few years off to be a mam, you know, look after her kids, look after her family. But she's starting to get out there again. And also, interestingly, she's a DJ these days.
Get that DJ booking, girl.
Maybe we're going to get a Paris Hilton-style EDM album from Tata. Who knows? It's been so much fun doing this, JB. Thank you for jumping into this with me. And I hope you guys enjoyed that.
You know, maybe this is the first of more in this format. Who knows? You guys love when we do the Lost Girl Group, so maybe we'll do more of this as well. All right, you have been listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s global pop music podcast. You can follow us, Right Back Pod, on all social platforms. You can email our hearts, rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can leave us a lovely 5-star review, hit that subscribe button. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB. That's Dr_JoelB. And you can follow him at
@LoveLimmy.
Until next time. Bye.